Well, we certainly thank God this morning for His salvation and for His love to us. It's a beautiful song. And I think as we heard the words, I think to some degree anyway, that would be our desire. Here I am, Lord, send me. Thinking, Lord, help us. And would this morning every one of us had that genuine from the heart desire. Here I am, Lord, send me. And give ourselves to God to that degree that whatever He may ask of and call for and send us, that we would have a ready reply. Yes, Lord, I'm willing. To make a sacrifice that's complete and make a sacrifice that's well-pleasing to God. So I hope that song challenged you this morning because it certainly challenged this poor man. This morning, I'd like to think a little bit about knowing God for ourselves. Knowing God for ourselves. We'll try to, with the Lord's help, maybe bring in a little bit of the thoughts we had last week on the Holy Spirit, or rather the Jesus Christ, the High Priest. But this morning, I'd like to consider the thought about the Lord has made it available and possible that we as individuals can know God for ourselves. And collectively, as a congregation, we can be people who meet together who know God for ourselves. God has done many mighty works in the land. He's doing many mighty works. He wants us to be ambassadors. He wants us to go forth. He wants us to exhort. He wants us to refresh and encourage and admonish one another. But what God wants and what we need is for every one of us to know God for ourselves. A very personal relationship. This morning in Sunday school class, someone read this verse, and it seemed like it fit so well with some of the thoughts I had. I'd like to read that verse. It's in 2 Peter 1 and 3. 2 Peter 1 and 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Someone said in Sunday school class this morning too, the ways of God are a great mystery. Paul said it this way, great is the mystery of godliness. And probably for you and me to be able to fathom the glory and the power of God, it would take many lifetimes on this earth. To be able to understand His divine power, His majesty. But yet, Peter writes to us that God in His goodness and mercy to us, and according to His divine power, has absolutely turned over everything to us that pertains to life and to godliness. One writer said, all things are yours. Paul said, all things work together for good. Everything that God is has been placed in a place where you and I have access to it and have use to it, use of it. And here Paul or Peter says, according as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through a knowledge of Him. It's a wonderful thing. We have so much that we can gain, and there's so much to be attained, and there's so much that can be gained through a knowledge of the divine. His ways, they're higher than our ways. His thoughts, they're greater than our thoughts. He has places to lead us that human minds cannot even envision. God is holy and He is pure. And all power in heaven and earth is given unto His church, unto His people. And it comes through a knowledge of Him. I've often said a minister, if we depend entirely on what the minister says, to get our revelations and directions from God, we're living below our birthright. There's a place for the ministry. I believe in it wholeheartedly, obviously. But did you know if a minister preached two times a week, 52 weeks a year, that's just 104 messages, 104 thoughts. How many thoughts does God have? Oh my, myriads. Thoughts upon thoughts. And every second of every day, we can live in a way where we know Him. And He can express to us His will, His divine power, and His leadership. This morning, there's so much now for you and me to gain by having a knowledge of God. Not from afar off, as we're going to try to bring in this morning, but a very personal Christ, God in us, you and me, the temple, the Holy Ghost, the High Priest, our intercessor, all the things that God has for us. And it comes through a knowledge of Him. Through a knowledge of Him. If we had any other, if we're going to sit down right now, it's through a knowledge of God. So much glory, so many things are available to us. Last week, I want to read briefly some scriptures that we touched on last week. Over in Hebrews, the 9th chapter and the 12th verse, it talks about, we talked last week about Jesus Christ being our high priest. And we talked a little bit about how the high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year, the Day of Atonement, with not without blood, but he went into the very presence of God. He went in to the mercy seat. He went into where God had condescended to meet with man and dwell among his people. And the high priest went into that place in service to God, in worship to God, in an atonement for his sins and for the sins of the people. And he went in with blood of the innocent, perfect lamb that was slain. But yet, in those sacrifices, there never was a taking away of the sin. But every year, there was a remembrance of the committed transgressions. Now, we talked about Jesus Christ being our true high priest of God. And these are some scriptures that we read. I want to just briefly read them to us. 9 and 12 of Hebrews. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. So he wasn't taken from men. His authority didn't come from man, we know, but it was of God. He was the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who lived in a time that we don't know when he was born. We don't know when he died. He wasn't of the tribe of Levi. He was a priest of the Most High God, Prince of Salem. And we know very little about him, but yet we know that Abraham paid tithes unto Melchizedek after he came back from the slaughter of the kings, it said. So this one, Jesus Christ, is a high priest forever. In the 15th verse of that same chapter, thank you. Okay, I wanted the 9th. I said the 9th chapter. Thank you. Hey, Brother David, thank you. Somebody else ought to help me on that one, too. Well, I'm glad at least that scripture fit in somewhere. Wouldn't that have been a terrible one? Neither by the blood of bulls and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So, backtrack a little bit. The high priest went in with the blood of animals. Jesus Christ went into the Holy of Holies with his own blood, and he was able to obtain eternal, forever redemption for us. Now in the 15th verse, we're in the right chapter now. I was fixing to catch myself, Brother David, because I knew this 15th verse of the 10th chapter didn't work out at all. I thought, well, something's wrong. So it's the 15th verse of the 9th chapter. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressor, that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So we studied a little bit about how he is the mediator of something better, of the testament that the Lord wants to write in our hearts. And he is a high priest that is entered in for the new covenant for every one of us. In the 24th verse of that chapter, we read, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." The Lord went to tremendous amount of effort, a great cost, and he did this for us, as if to say, "I have something special for you. I really love you. I truly care about you." And the Lord wants that to woo us and be interested in that and to want to know more about that, that someone would love me or love you so much that he would want to and did give his life's blood. And he has went back to the throne room now of God to appear in the presence of God for me. I want to know about him. I want to understand him. Because if he did this much and I understand that much, how much more does God have for us in our everyday life? In the perplexities of life. See, we need to understand that God did this much, but God is from everlasting to everlasting. And he has many precious things he wants to give us through a knowledge of him. As we begin then to understand a little of what God has done, may we this morning be encouraged to inquire further, to look more, to want him for ourselves. In Hebrews the 8th chapter, Hebrews the 8th chapter, in the first two verses, "Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not by man," or not by man, of man. So we read here that Jesus Christ came. We have him personally for ourselves. We have that. It's not something that is for another time or another day. It's not an impersonal high priest that is not touched with our infirmities. But we have a high priest who has now entered in for us. So he's ours. He is a possession that you and I can possess. In the 7th chapter, in the 17th verse, he's not a priest that is going to go away, because you remember under the law, the legal systems, there was a changing of the priesthood because of death. The priest, high priest, he died. He couldn't reign forever as the high priest or serve forever as the high priest. So Jesus, it testified of him in the 17th verse, "For this he testified, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." So he is eternal, without beginning and without end. We don't have a changeable priesthood, but we serve a God and a Christ and a high priest who is always the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The perplexities of life, we have an audience with the King through Jesus Christ. Then the last verse I want to look at is in the 24th and the 25th verse of the chapter, 7th chapter. "But this man, Jesus Christ, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is," and this is the most wonderful verse I think we've read so far, "wherefore he is able, and also to save them to the uttermost." The message of God, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." The message of God is he is able to save us, to deliver us, to make an atonement that satisfies the wrath of God, to make an atonement that breaks the yoke of sin upon us. He is able to save us. He is able to deliver us. He is able to keep us in the most horrid of circumstances, in all the trials and the tests. He is able, this high priest, Jesus Christ, he is able to save us absolutely to the furthest amount, wherever, whatever the song, the Christmas song we sing, wherever the curse is found. He broke that. He has power over that. So this morning, we're thankful for the high priest. This morning, I want us to consider now getting to know him for ourselves. Knowing the Lord not as someone the preacher talks about or mom and dad has talked about, not as someone we occasionally read about in the Bible, but a friend, a Savior who lives and reigns and guides and talks and visits and is so personal that he calls me to his service. The sweet sound of his voice gives us peace in the midst of the storm. A Savior who is a high priest, eternal in the heavens, for me. And I can know him. And I can know how he thinks and what he wants in his leadership and his guidance. And I can be in the furthest remote places of the earth, and God is there. My Christ is there. And I can know him. I can know his voice, and I can know his leadership. I think when you begin to study and read the different scriptures, John 14 and 23. I'd say it goes without saying that God wants a relationship with us. You think about all the effort God has made. Have you ever to have a relationship with us? Have you ever maybe known someone or know someone and there was something about that person that you wanted to know better? Perhaps you felt a empathy with them in their situation of life. Perhaps you felt they had a need and you had a sincere desire to help them. Maybe that person is someone that is just to you pleasant to be with, and you want to get to know them better, or you want a relationship with them. Have you ever noticed the things that we'll do to gain that relationship? We'll make calls. We'll offer ourselves. We'll form some kind of service, some type of sacrifice. When we truly want to know someone as a better friend or a closer friend or an ally or someone that we want to help in their distress, we put forth an effort because it's important to us. As I said earlier, it goes without saying in my mind that based on the effort and the work and the sacrifice and the appeal and the calls that God has made to us, He sincerely wants a relationship with us. What a privilege that is. What a opening that is. What a large door that is. What a hope that is. That the King of all eternity is desiring a relationship with me. Now, we ought to take that as a gift from God, but I tell you what else. We ought to take full advantage of it. And that's part of our burden this morning. This high priest is your high priest. And he wants a relationship with you. And that you may know him. Over in John 14 and 23. John 14 and 23. If a man love me, Jesus said, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now we're talking about the high priest, Jesus Christ. We're talking about the one who has ascended up on high and led captivity captive, having a desire to come and abode or tent or tabernacle with us. That you and I can be his temple. That you and I can be his tabernacle. That you and I can offer acceptable sacrifices. He said, if any man love me, he will keep my words. How do we know the words? We have to become acquainted with the one who gives the word. This morning the Lord wants to live in us and abide in us. He doesn't want to be a visitor. He doesn't want to be someone that only comes around when there's special invitations given. He wants to be there to guide us and to support us and help us in every phase, every area of our life. He wants to be there that you and I can know him, his power, his goodness, his love, his correction, that we can be guided by him in all events of our life, that we receive power, that we can say no to the devil, that you and I can truly say, here I am, Lord, send me, and from our heart genuinely want to know and do the service of the Lord? God wants to come into us as a life-changing force. He wants to come in more than just a good feeling, more than someone that we meet on a Sunday morning some way or another or hear about. But He wants to be there effective in our life every day, molding us, shaping us, keeping us, preserving us to His glory, to His honor, to His praise, that you and I might be a light into a very darkened world. And oh, dear ones, today, don't we see the darkness all around us? Don't we see the darkness creeping in all around us? No, not creeping in, but rushing in, knocking on our doors, great walls of darkness trying to invade our space and our heart, our children, our grandchildren, our friends. Don't we see this? Our hope is in a knowledge of God for ourselves. A simple acquaintance of, oh yes, I've heard. Oh well, I believe Jesus is. Oh saints, the days are dark. The times are hard. Young people, you're not a match for that which is welling up against every one of us. We need to know God for ourselves. We don't have time to run to the preacher sometimes. We don't have time to run to mom and dad. We don't have time to get on the phone and call around for prayer all the time. Those are good things. They're the things God has put in the body. But oh, we need to know God for ourselves. When that evil day comes, when that thing hits me totally unaware, when I am accosted by sin, I need to know God here. I need to have His directions here. And praise God, He's made that available. He said, I'll come and live with you. Isn't that a wonderful privilege? How many of us today have opened our heart? How many of us today think it's such a privilege that, oh, thank you, Lord, and we've humbled ourselves at the cross? How many of us today have said, well, that's a good idea, but not today, Jesus. Not today, Jesus. I've got other things I want to do. I've got other things I'm planning on. I've got other things that I want right now more than that. Where are we today? Have we opened our heart's door gladly and say, come into my heart, Lord. It's an honor for you to be here. Oh, I want you to stay. Rule in me, reign me. Here are the things that I am struggling with. I place them at your feet and I sacrifice them to you because you want to come live with me. Isn't that wonderful? What do you think about that? How are we reacting to that? Are we running to that light? Are we coming to it and saying, oh, it's so warm and so beautiful and such hope and such advantages here? Or are we treating it as, that's just Jesus. He'll come back. He always has. Think about it this morning. The privilege of knowing God for ourselves. There was a time under the Old Covenant that, I want to read in the 8th chapter of Hebrews. There was a time under the Old Covenant that access to God was limited. We've studied some about that. I'm sure you have. And it was through a ceremonial rites, through much effort on the part of the priest and the high priest. And it never did completely do what God intended or had in mind for us. It served its purpose. The law was good while it was in effect. But the Lord had yet another covenant that He wants to make with us. And that covenant is in effect today, and it's available to every one of us. I'd like to read just a little bit about that new covenant. It's found in the 8th chapter of Hebrews and the 10th and the 11th verse. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them into their hearts, in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. I believe this is a quote out of Jeremiah. There was a time under the law that and under the patriarchs even, there was a time when the service to the Lord was very limited. It was limited to the Levites and to temple worship. The coming into the presence of God was certainly a very limited experience, the high priest once a year, and he had to do everything that the law prescribed to make atonements for the sin of the people, but it was a very limited access to God. Now Jesus comes, the mediator of a better testament, the mediator of a better covenant, and the Lord said, there's coming a day in this new covenant where every man can know me, from the least to the greatest, the educated, the uneducated. Every man who thirsts can come to this well of water and receive life. We don't have to have men to teach us altogether about God. Sure, the Lord put teachers in the body. Sure, the Lord put exhortation in the body. Sure, the Lord said, go ye out and teach all nations. We are to do that. But the good news is it has gone out to everyone now. We're all called to be kings and priests in the kingdom of God. We're all called to be able to offer up acceptable and holy sacrifices unto God. The Lord has made it where every one of us now can know Him. What are we doing with that? That opportunity. You know, I guess sometimes as people, we're all procrastinate. I think procrastinators, many times we can have good intentions. But if you're prone to procrastinate, or if you have seen a procrastinator, have you ever noticed that those things that they've got good intentions to do rarely get efficiently done or effectively done or maybe never done at all? Procrastination causes you and me to put something off till another time. But Jesus said, Hebrew writer said, now is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. But it's a tendency in us, well, I intend to know Jesus one day. The Bible said, know Him in the days of thy youth before the evil days come. We ought to put off knowing Him. But there's something about most people that we all have a little bit of procrastination. Well, maybe we can get by with that in the physical world. But folks, it's a very dangerous thing to procrastinate knowing the Lord. Did you know, and you've seen this, in teaching languages and mathematics and just teaching children in general, when are they best able to learn? When they're young, when their minds are active, when they haven't been filled with a lot of false error, erroneous doctrine or teachings, and their minds are like little sponges that grasp and pick up, and we have realized that. I know y'all kind of get a chuckle out of me when I try to speak a little Spanish. It's kind of funny. I can't do it. The tongue and the lips, they just won't work right. But little children, they learn it and just pick up on it just like this and go with it. Oh, Lord, help us. As we put off, you know what's happening? We're growing older. As we put off knowing God for ourselves and that personal, intimate relationship of knowing His voice and Him living within me, did you know what? We're picking up more of our own ways. We're growing harder to God. Because if God's not teaching us, who is teaching us? If God's not leading us, who is leading us? As we procrastinate knowing God, as we procrastinate allowing the Lord to come dwell in our heart, truly live in us and reign in us, and an abandonment of our old ways and my ideas, we are growing harder and making it that much harder, difficult for the Lord to come live in our hearts. So He said, harden not your hearts. Don't put this thing off. As we put it off, we're growing stronger in something else. Salvation is no more of the Jews. Salvation is to whosoever will. It's not limited to the priest and the high priest. It's not limited to the prophets. It's limited to no one now if we'll believe from our heart. The writer said, whosoever will. I want to read to us this morning over in Matthew a minute. The 11th chapter, it's a well-quoted, well-preached-on verses. 11th chapter of Matthew and the 28th verse. quite an invitation when you consider the depth of it. Come unto me. Just think now. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What an invitation. To whosoever will, not just to the priest, to the high priest, and to the Levites, not just to the minister, to the Sunday school teacher, not just to moms and not just to dads, but to whosoever will, take my yoke and come and learn. Did you remember Mary who was sitting at the feet of Jesus? Do we take that time daily, even moment by moment, to sit at the feet of Jesus? Or do we get so busy and encumbered by life like Martha that we're off doing this and we're off doing that and occupying ourselves in ways that the voice of the Lord can't be heard? That we don't really take time to study the Bible, not just to do our duty and read a verse or two, but to actually meditate and think upon it, to actually cry out to God for teaching, for leadership. The Lord said, come and learn. Come and occupy time with me. Lord, help us this morning to be Marys. And he said of Mary, Mary has chosen the better part. And this great from my hand or my Father's hand, these are things that are secure us to the Lord. These are things that are eternal. Oh, that we might be Marys this morning. Be careful, Marthas. All of us that have a tendency to get occupied, busy, something I want to do, and we procrastinate knowing God, procrastinate drawing closer to God. We put off our prayer. Have you ever noticed? I'm going to do it in a minute. 2 hours later, oops, I forgot to pray. You may say that's a simple thing. No, it's not. It's indicative of our human weakness. It lets us know that we need to do, we need to do it first. We need to occupy ourselves till He comes, knowing Him, learning of Him, listening to Him, judging our life according to the character and the knowledge we know of Jesus Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And in this searching, in this seeking, in this learning, He promised you something and me. He promised rest to our soul. Isn't that a wonderful thought? This morning, I don't know where really any of us are. Are you seeking for rest, but you're not wanting to learn of that rest from God? Has God come along in your life and said, learn of me, but His way seems hard? His way means I'm going to have to deny myself. His way means that I'm going to have to reverse some things I've been thinking and saying and believing. Yet I won't rest. But yet I don't want this man to reign in that area. And we leave and we go away. Jesus was sorrowful at the rich ruler, but He let him go away. This morning, as we have an opportunity to find rest, let's learn all we can about it. Let's don't procrastinate and say, well, I think this and I think that. Folks, be careful of this. Be careful of what you think. Be careful of what you think others think. Be careful. We need to be so careful to know what the Lord thinks, what the Word of God said, what the Spirit of God says. If I won't rest, I must be willing to lay aside myself and learn about God, learn about Jesus Christ. He said, and you will find something. It's a treasure hid in the field. It's the pearl of great price. It's the most beautiful, life-giving water you'll ever find. You'll find rest of your soul when you turn over and start learning about me. We value education in this world, in this America. And I'm not against education. But you know what? There's something better than the education of the mind. It's the education of God to my soul. And how to live. And He promised us something. So this morning, if you don't have rest, if you truly don't have peace in your soul, the Lord says, come learn about me. I would say this morning, and I don't mean this critical because I find myself here at times, but I believe we could say, if I don't have the peace in a matter, I'm holding on to something of the flesh. Not necessarily sin, but I'm holding on to something that God's got something better to offer me. And I'm having trouble listening. I'm having trouble getting the lesson. I'm having trouble occupying. I'm having trouble absorbing or paying attention. When you think about this kind of scriptures that we read here, the 28th and the 30th verse, I want you to think a little bit about a hungry man, a thirsty person. Just a little while ago before this service started, I didn't eat any breakfast this morning. Usually I eat a piece of toast or something on Sunday morning. So during Sunday school, I noticed a little trembling. I noticed a little grumbling. And I felt a little overall weakness. You know what I needed? I needed some food. So I thought, there's got to be a piece of bread in the kitchen. So when Sunday school was out, I kind of made my way back to the kitchen. The thought of food enticed me. The need in my body wanted to be satisfied. I had a hunger. And I couldn't function well on account of that hunger. And my mind was not really, it was on hunger. It was on my fingers kind of shaking a little bit. And the thought of the pantry and bread drew me to it. This is kind of, I know it's a little, it's not real deep conversation right now, but I hope I can get a point out of this. So I went back there, and someone had locked the pantry door. Well, it's a little like AJ's convenience store. So I could run down there and get me a cookie. I said, yeah, and I just assured I'll do, I'll have a flat tire. So I came back in here and I didn't have my key, so I got Karen's key and went back in there and I opened up the pantry door and sure enough, there was some stale light bread in there. I looked and there was a little peanut butter. So I got me a piece of bread and smeared on a little peanut butter and quickly ate a half a peanut butter sandwich. Quit shaking, was able to focus on what needed to be done. Now, I can bring the illustration out. When we're hungry and when we're thirsty, the offer of relief can be a tremendous draw to us. Jesus said, come unto me. This should be a tremendous draw, an incentive, that you and I have an offer of knowing the Lord for ourselves, that I can learn of Him and find peace to my soul. When I begin to think then that the solution to my needs is in Jesus Christ, I want to learn about Him. See what I'm saying now? The solution to my hunger was a piece of bread. The solution to the hunger of our soul is knowing Jesus Christ. The solution to the ills that affect us and attack us is Jesus Christ. The solution to our unrest and our hopelessness and our emptiness and our fear and our sin is Jesus Christ. He said, come to me. Oh, this morning, may that be a strong attraction as you and I recognize I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm afraid, I'm lost, I don't have the answers, I'm encumbered, I'm weighted down. And Jesus is saying, I've got a pantry, and I've got the key, and I've unlocked it. And no man can shut you out of there. If you'll come in, I'll sup with you. I'll provide all that you need. Come learn about me. I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Not a stale piece of bread with some cold peanut butter, but a total meal fixed, ready for you. And I'll come in and I'll sup with you. In fact, I want you to learn of me so much, I knock on your door. I call after you. I long for you. I died for you. I shed my blood for you. I went back to the Father for you. Now I come again for you, and I'll take up my abode in you just for you, for your good. Oh, this morning, when you and I can sense the solution to life's needs is in Jesus Christ, that should draw us. That should cause us to want to go to Him. That should cause the Word of God not to be just paper and ink, but the living bread of life. That we hunger to know what's contained in what thus saith the Word of God. That the Holy Ghost and the prayer to the Father is not just a formality, but it is a life-giving stream that flows down to water my parched heart, my confused mind, and give life to the deserts that I've allowed to go on through my procrastination. And the weeds have gone up, grown up, because I've put off knowing the Lord, and I really need these things. And the Lord says, come unto me, and you'll have streams in the desert. The dry, barren places that you've allowed to kind of stay over there and hold on to them and defend them, I'll cause this life-giving water. And everything that the water touched, everywhere it touched, it said it lived. And I'll cause you to be alive. May this morning our hunger draw us to God. May our thirst draw us to God. May our needs draw us to God. He said, come unto me, all you that labor. I am your high priest. In Hebrews, he said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. I knew, as much as I can know, that if I got in that pantry, there'd be a cracker, there'd be a potato chip, there'd be something in there. Because at that point, I wasn't finicky. We all been there, hadn't we? Just give me something to eat and give it to me now. I was confident that if I got that key and opened it up, there'd be something tangible that I could put in my body. And I wasn't finicky. This morning, we can come with confidence to the throne of grace. And we can know the Lord. We can know Him for ourselves. He can be a personal revelation daily living in us. He can feed us and lead us, and guide us, and correct us and encourage us and give us the strength we need when the way seems so harsh and so questionable. And what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? And have you ever noticed when we start trying to figure things out in our own mind? I think we all do it to some extent. Have you ever noticed how most of the time it just leads to more questions? Leads to more... Well, he said in one place, it gender strife. It just seems like there's no peace with it altogether. But when we can really know the Lord and have a confidence in Him, an assurance to Him, in Him. Have you ever noticed that when He speaks to us and we're in tune to Him, have you ever noticed how that's the end? That's my answer. That's the end of the strife. That's the end of the fear. That's the end of those things that was besetting me. This morning, we're going to stop here thinking this. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Are you unsatisfied? Is the meals that Satan has been preparing for you causing you to be starving? Is there fear? Is there dread? Is there just a lack of peace and a lack of rest? Could it be this morning you're hearing the invitation? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke and learn of me. This morning, may that little phrase, learn of me, may that be such a golden sound in your ears. May it be the golden opportunity that causes you to set up and take notice of the opportunity set before us. That I can come with all my situations and I can learn from the Lord. And He's going to lead me where? In paths of righteousness. Where is He going to lead me? Beside the still water. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Lord wants to be this morning in your heart. He wants to live in us. He wants to take His new covenant and bring it to us personally, that we can know Him for ourselves, that we can know the beauty of salvation. So this morning, if there's a hunger, if there's a thirst, if there's something in you that's unsatisfied, Jesus said, you can know me from the least to the greatest. Every one of us can have this personal relationship. Come unto me. And He said, learn of me. You pray for me. said, this is not the end of the story, but it's the beginning of the opportunity. And the Lord comes, He comes with all His beauty, all His glory, and all His salvation. So it's the beginning of something different, something new, something rich, something that doesn't fade away, something that's eternal even in the heavens. So thank the Lord this morning that the Lord wants to come with all His glory and live in our lives. Are there other burdens? Lord willing, there'll be services tonight at 7. So each one come back and ask the Lord to please be with us in our services. You might remember the work at the altar as we're dismissing and maybe try to be quiet up around the altar. Someone may care to dismiss us now.